Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. This morning's message is entitled The Image of God, and we're going to spend some time exploring what that means for you and for me and for every man and woman that's ever lived and that will live on this planet, who we stand accountable to, what we're responsible for. Our big idea this morning is this. Yes, you and I are made different, and that's what makes us alike. Yes, you and I are different, and that's what makes us alike. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time today in His Word. Lord Jesus, we come to You and we lift up Your name. Lord, I thank You so much for Your grace and for Your goodness and for Your blessing. Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to stand before my family this morning and to lift up Your name. Lord, as we look at this story of creation, which is not a story that is made up as a myth, but rather the story of where each and every one of us finds our accountability and our connection to You. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank You so much for the reality of Your creation, for Your involvement in our creation, that You do not make mistakes, that we are not a cosmic accident, but rather we are creatures of Your creation. And Lord, I pray today as we find our identity that we'd not place it apart from You, but wholly and solidly in You. You've got great responsibilities for us. And I pray, Lord, today that You would give us a deeper appreciation for what it means to multiply, to subdue, to have dominion, so that as believers, we will be faithful to Your command, and as citizens of this world, we will be caretakers of what You've given us. Lord, we understand that our directions aren't just directed to the trees, to the dirt, to the animals, but to one another. Lord, today I pray that You would help us to love and appreciate one another, that You would help us to love and appreciate You for all that You do. Lord, may You be our encourager this morning as we look to Your words. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. What is the difference between people and animals? Have you ever thought about that? Is it our life cycles? We really do live on this earth for a fixed number of years. We all have a life cycle, is what I'm trying to point out. Some of us, life cycles are shorter than others. And it seems to be that the life cycle is associated with intelligence, yes. How many times did my mama threaten me that if you don't straighten up, I'm going to kill you? That's the truth. As a young man learning that mama might take your life. She gave you life. She might take your life, or at least that was what the fear was. I don't know that my mom had the capability of taking my life, even though she might have wanted to. I think about the life cycle for each and every creature that lives on this earth. We all have a similar heritage. We come into this world by birth. We experience a season of childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and then we all leave this place the same way through death. It's life in the middle that I want to look at. You and I don't have a say about our birth date. We contribute to our death date, but ultimately that's in the Lord's hands. So how you and I occupy our lives and spend our times, that's a greater distinction between the animals and man. Oh, we all have the same basic needs. For every creature that lives and breathes, lives on this earth, we all have the same basic needs. We all fight for survival. We need food. We need good food. We need plenty of sleep. And we need shelter. And that seems to be the distinction of life. And we spend so much of our time and so much of our energy dedicated toward our survival that sometimes we forget that the work that we do, the jobs that we do to earn money, to provide food, and to provide a place to sleep and a roof over our head is all for survival. It does give us a fresh perspective of what's really important, about how much we need and how the Lord blesses us. There's no shame in having a small house. There's no shame in having a big house. If the Lord blesses you and you live according to your means, and we understand the relationship, the necessity for having our basic needs met. That's the friction that we live in our adolescence and growing up. We redefine what survival is as children. Have to have toys and have to have the things that they want. How many times did your parents deny you your basic needs? But I say basic needs, I mean food, shelter, sleep, shelter. You might define basic needs as entertainment, as things to help you with your social status, the right kind of clothes. Those are struggles that I struggled with, and it's not a problem that went away. We still see parents working hard to make sure that kids have the best clothes and that they have plenty of spending money, that they have an easy, comfortable life. But when you look at the comparison between animals and people, we all have the same basic need to survive, and yet we are completely different. What is it that separates man from animals? Well, there's a distinction that we could say. When you think about how we are made up, we have language, or lack thereof. That good grammar that your teachers tried to teach you. The language that we speak. I find it's amazing that here in North Carolina, there are places that you can go. Even though we're all speaking English, there are some places that say the words just a little bit different. Seems a little bit off. If you listen to the way that we talk, it astounds us that we can follow along in a conversation most of the time. But is it really language that sets us apart from the animal kingdom? I mean, the birds sing and whales sing and dogs bark. Animals communicate. We just don't speak their language. Sometimes we think that we are at the top of the food chain because we have the ability to speak to one another. And that we have a desire to live in community. That the people all around us, our neighbors, are a distinction. And yet we look to the animal kingdom and we see the herd mentality. There are certain species of animals that exist in big groups. It's not common just to man. Maybe it's culture that sets us apart. For we appreciate living in the time of the world that we live in. And yet, if you think back to how much culture has changed over the years, think about how much culture has changed over the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 50 years. It is ever changing and never quite the same. People's understanding and appreciation as far as culture goes, and I want to explain to you what that means by culture, what I mean by culture. It is amazing to see how much it has changed. What used to be considered right and good 50 years ago is now decried as wicked and evil. Is it because we have a higher learning capability, that we're highest because of our brains, that we have the ability to reason, to put one and one together and realize that it equals two? Is it the intellect, our brains, that set us apart from the animal kingdom? Because I've known plenty of people who really weren't all there, who really made some bad decisions. Speaking of bad decisions, is it our desire or the morality that we define in community? When you look back over human history, how it was that life being a precious miracle, and yet there has been culture after culture after culture throughout human history that had no regard for human life, that children would be sacrificed to false gods and idols. We define morality based upon a criteria defined by our community. And yet, as believers, we know that that morality is defined for us by God in His Word. Maybe it's our creativity. And I think this is, really does speak to a lot of what makes us different than the animal kingdom. is our ability to create, to present art, to create literature. Man, I think about what you and I would define as art. Outside my door, Brother Clifton was pointing out there was a wasp nest that was hanging right up above my door. I guess the wasps were starting to come out. And as I looked at it, Brother Steve and I found one out at Deer Lake, and he swatted it off, and we got rid of it. And I think about that wasp nest, and I think, you know, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to make that, nor would I even try, because I don't like wasps either. But is a wasp nest no less a work of art? Oh, no, 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 no. That's all for its survival. That's how it provides for its offspring, and that's where the little larvas grow up to become a bigger. Oh, no, no, no. You and I define what's creative today, and I think that that's what's even crazy about the day that we live in. Our tastes change and adapt over the years. What used to be in fashion is no longer in fashion. I am amazed at the inventions over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You remember polyester fabrics? It was amazing that we could wear that much weight on our body with a double knit polyester, which was indestructible. It never needed ironing. And yet we chose to move to simpler fabrics, cottons, because they're more comfortable. If you look at just the way our dress has changed, just the average person, when I watch an old Western in the Wild West, and I'll see people in the settlers, the people who are going west, the pioneers, I'll see them riding on their wagon train, the women in their bustles and their big hats or bonnets, and the men will have on a three-piece suit riding on their horse. And today, yesterday I was at the grocery store, there was someone shopping in the grocery store in their pajamas. And I thought to myself, we would never have made it 150 years ago. But things change. Life changes. Is that what sets us apart from the animals? Maybe it's the way we apply everything about our faculties. Now, our intelligence. Tonight's message, we're going to be looking at created in man's image and exploring what it means and what the threats are on the horizon for us as far as artificial intelligence. Is it our intelligence that we live with today that sets us apart from the animals? However you think you and I are smart and we can do delicate heart surgeries, not you, not me, but there are of our kind, there are surgeons skilled at making very, very small incisions and performing amazing surgeries that speaks to our capacity for intelligence. And yet, if you have a trash can sitting outside in your yard that's sealed up, it is amazing the critters that can break in and scatter that garbage all across your yard as they're looking for something to eat. They're cunning. They're smart. Is it our capacity for industry, the way that we make things? And how exciting is it to think that we are living in a day where maybe the great factories of the past might be coming back to our country? When you think about the history of North Carolina and all of the, for all of you who worked in the mills and the factories, to see those dismantled, to become places where people live nowadays. You live there. You just got paid to live there. Now people pay great amounts of money to live in those old abandoned mills, and we'll be building new industries, hopefully, in the next few years. And is that what sets us apart? And yet, you think about the ants and their ability to work together. We defined our greatness based upon our capabilities, and yet we look inside the animal kingdom and we find that there are creatures and there are critters that are just as industrious as we are. Is it the application of technology? How that you and I can use tools, or as you're like me, spend most of your time looking for the right tool to do the job. But we find that the intelligence that exists in the animal kingdom is similar to what we have. So what is it that separates us from the animals? For that, I find the answer in Genesis 1. verses 25 through 27. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. We find in the Genesis 1 account that God is responsible for creating creatures. He created them, creates all of us alike. That you and I are not cattle. You and I are not cats. You and I are not dogs. You and I are not the ones that creep upon this earth, as we find. You and I are not snakes. God creates the animal kingdom, and he says that it's good. Then we come to verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." There's the answer. That's what sets us apart from the animal kingdom. So God created man, say it with me, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Say this with me, male and female created he them. What separates us? What separates man from animals? We find scriptures tell us that every man and woman are created in the image of God. We are different than the animal kingdom. We are different than the beasts, the fowls, and the creeping things. We are created in the image of God. What does this mean? It means, quite frankly, that man is made different than the animal kingdom. God has given us a uniqueness. There are marked differences between humanity and the rest of life on this earth. Even though we can say that all of the animals and all of the creatures have a physical similarity, that there is flesh and bone, we look at to see all of the distinctions, the differences, the similarities, and we're taken back. How that you can visit the North Carolina Zoo and you can see creatures that will remind you of your cousins, and you know that those monkeys in the cage are not your cousins. Yes, they have a body, and yes, they have digits. They have two eyes and a nose and a mouth. But I want to remind you what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul gives us an insight into the difference that's there. It's that we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. What's the distinction there? Well, we have flesh and blood. We have our physical characteristics, our physical attributes. We're also made up as psychological beings. And God has created us as spiritual beings. It's the similarities between the animal kingdom and humanity with the psychological traits. Sometimes animals get cranky. Have you ever been in a pasture around a bull who did not want you in his property or in his area, and he storms you and he is angry, and yet when you're holding a bucket of sweet feed, he's just as loving and as gentle as can be because you have tamed him with a bucket of sweet corn? Animals have somewhat similar emotions, though not as deep. And I understand the difference between men and women. That women have a lot of emotions, as I got into trouble a few weeks ago talking about how logical I was with Melina and our discussions, and she just shook her head that whole service. She's not with us today. She's down with her parents at their farm, and I do not want to get into trouble. I'd rather her be here for me to get into trouble to enjoy it. So we're going to move on. But the difference with us for spiritual, what does that mean on the inside? Well, let's look at the distinction between the psychological and the spiritual. Psychological means that you and I are made up with intellect, emotion, and will. We are able to think. We are able to construct thoughts. We have feelings, and we have desires. This is what I mean by the psychological difference. If you've ever tried to run a mule, you'll understand that mules are stubborn. They do not like to be told what to do. Donkeys the same way. People the same way, and yet there's a difference in the psychological makeup of man and animals. It is Jesus who's speaking in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. And Jesus answered, "The first of all of the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And this is the second, is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." I do find a difference between the commands to people and the commands to animals. You may have a loving pet, a loving dog or cat, and yet it does not have the same capacity to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit that we do. See, Jesus came to redeem this world, and his death was for our sins. Because sin separates us from God. Did the death of Jesus restore eternal life for the animals, for the creatures of this earth? Does it mean that we are going to have mice in heaven? And if so, someone said, I do not want to go there. We understand the difference between the animal kingdom and humanity is that God has set us aside for a special purpose. And the expectation for man is that we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we have a psychological accountability and we also have a spiritual accountability to him. It's in our spirit that we have this idea of intuition. That we know the difference between right and wrong. That we have a conscience that speaks to us when we do wrong and reassures when we do right. But God has created us for a greater purpose. That's communion with him. As mankind, we have a different distinction. And the cross is the proof. The cross is the evidence. The empty tomb tells the story that God has set apart man above all the other animals and all of the other creatures of this earth. There is a special relationship that God has with humanity. That's why when John writes in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus speaking, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God's standard is that our spiritual connection is to him, not serving ourselves, not serving the creatures. We have been created with a special purpose. We are spiritually different on the inside. That's what sets us apart from the animal kingdom. Verse 14, Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. So this is what it means for you and for me. That God created us in his image. Not that God is a body. Jesus tells us God's a spirit. It's the inside that we find the similarity. It's the external that we see the similarities to understand and to connect with this creation. It's what's on the inside that gives us an insight into the emptiness that we have towards our Creator. Or, for believers, the comfort of knowing that we have that relationship with our Creator who speaks to us, who ministers to us. So this is what it means that man has been created different. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 through 31. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And we find these three commands here, to multiply, to subdue, and to have dominion. These are the charges that God gave to Adam and to Eve likewise, the ability, the charge, the purpose to multiply. When we think about the problems that we hear about in this modern world, and they stand as an affront, they stand that the problem with this world isn't that there are enough of us. What do we hear today? We hear that there are too many of us. The responsibility of subduing the earth. What's what it looks like? It means to cultivate the garden. For Adam and Eve, that would be the reference, to take care of the garden of Eden. But not just that, to care for the kingdom, all of the animals and all of the creatures, and to sustain life, to work towards sustaining life. Brother Clifton, I'm excited that you are planting a garden. It's not that we can't get corn at a cheaper price, for it takes a whole lot more work for you to plant the corn and to take care of the corn than it does to open a can of corn. And yet the incredible difference between Brother Clifton's corn and what you can get at the grocery store, it just doesn't compare. And the ability and the charge for life. Isn't it crazy how life has gotten so complex when the charge that God gives to Adam and Eve to multiply, to subdue, and to have dominion over the earth, and life is so much more complicated nowadays. We get bent out of shape when the fast food line is impossibly long, or they get the order wrong, and yet life has been so much complicated in this modern world. And I want to tell you that we get sometimes nervous when we start talking about being good stewards of this planet, but I want you to know that taking responsibility is not radical. It's just part of God's command to us. Psalm 115, verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. God has given us this planet, and we are responsible for this planet. He didn't give the charge to the dinosaurs. He didn't give the charge to the flies, even though I know we are overrun with them, and we're doing everything we can to eradicate them. The mosquitoes and the bugs that fly and bother us. And even though we listen today to what we hear, the leading authorities tell us that the problems with this world is that we are overpopulated. Unless something happens, there is no hope for life. And yet, I want to tell you that the secret to life is multiplying. It's not that we have too much population, it's that we don't have enough population. And you look at the way governments are trying to respond, and they will move and shuffle people around that will recreate an area. And all the while, we'll hear the promotion of crazy ideas, telling people to have body parts removed and to render themselves sterile as a way to find happiness. And the truth be told, that this world that God has given us is to be taken by men. And if we are going to be faithful to him, we must scatter, multiply, subdue the earth. And yet we find the world has gone crazy, elevating animal rights over human rights. Communities out in western parts of our country that have no water for their communities because we have elevated protecting animal life. And I want you to understand, I'm not against animals. But God has given us the ability to take animals and to relocate them, to take care of them, all the while share the resources that we have available for us as well. But when we start to elevate animal rights, it subjugates us or moves us down a little bit lesser in to where the animals have a higher relationship or higher responsibility. And I know this is true. I've been at the grocery store. I've been in the pharmacy. I've been in restaurants for people who take their pets. And if you're one that does that, this is not a criticism of you. But I have seen pets get better treatment in restaurants than people. I have seen people get so upset about you getting in the way of their pet. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I am worthless compared to that person's pet. And yet, at the end of the day, while I love dogs and while I love cats and while I love pets, I love you. And think about the global impact that we have on this planet. Yes, the behaviors that we do does cause a change. When I first moved here, one of the things that I noticed about North Carolina was how clean the side ditches were. People didn't throw out trash. It always seemed to be that everything was so nice and neat, and that the ditches were always mowed. And then I became a homeowner, and I realized, hey, it's the homeowner's responsibility to pick up all that garbage. I've told Melina 1,000 times, if we ever move, if we are able to ever move, we are never, ever living next to a major road where people throw out trash. My mailbox is a perfect target for people throwing out all manner of junk. And while it frustrates me, I understand that my neighbors don't feel the same way about my property as I do, but I need to be a good neighbor. I need to take care of what God has given me. There are places that we can go throughout our county, and something to go through the mountains. You saw the devastation from Helene, and you see the ways that some people are having to live these days. I was recently up in the mountains, and someone said, "Oh, no. That's not the effects of the storm. That's just the way those people live. They have all that junk around their house." I think about taking care of the earth. And it's not a radical idea to be a good citizen, but it is radical when you and I start to elevate our ideas over God's commands and God's charge. So here's how we find life in the balance in verse 29 of Genesis chapter 1. "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." So it was. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What did God say about creation? God made this good. The creatures, even those mice that we call rats, even the flies and the mosquitoes that bother us. Life on this planet, when God created it and gives it to us, he says it is good. The question we've been asking, what separates us from man and animals, is answered in scriptures, but it's answered by the one who defines the difference between man and animals. Who is that? God has given us purpose. It is God who has made that distinction in making us. He's made us in his image. Next Sunday, as we look at the next message, the relationship that Adam and Eve have and the responsibility they had in raising and fulfilling the command to multiply, to subdue, to have dominion, and yet how quickly creation, everything falls apart. We live today in a world that is marked by the fall, and yet in God's creation, God made it good. It's man that broke. It's man's sin that brought the curse. So my response this morning to the message is to rethink my responsibility. God, am I being faithful to what you have created before? Am I being faithful to how you created me? What does it mean to be responsible? Is hunting bad? Absolutely not. Is taking care of the planet bad? Absolutely not. Learning to live in this world responsibly as believers, taking care of what God has given it so that we can share it with another generation, is not insane. And yet we need to step back and pull back and realize that this earth that God created is a lot bigger than you and me. And some of the answers and some of the solutions that we have tried to work in order to sustain life, to make life last and to work out, I think that the problems that we see here in this world, that the solution to overpopulation is infanticide. We find that abortion is used not just as a means of controlling the population, but just an opportunity to have a little bit better life. And yet I want to remind you how precious life is. How it is that we have people who have gone off on tangents and gone crazy as far as environmental sanity is. How it is that people we would cut off our nose to spite our faces. We have the logging industry, and I'll tell you, when we cut the trees out at Deer Lake several years ago, it broke my heart to see them, and yet we planted them back, and God is growing back trees. It's because trees are sustainable. It's understanding our responsibility in cultivating. I'm amazed at seeing how much development goes around our community. It seems to be everybody wants to have an apartment because you see all of the buildings that are being built up all around us. And Melina tells me every time I come home, she says, have you seen the yard? We need to move into an apartment. There's less to take care of there. And I said, you know, you're right. But we've got a responsibility to take care of what God has given us. Because we speak great volumes about the greatness of our God in our actions and the way that we treat this planet. We treat His creatures. But I want to remind you that there is a distinction between man and animals. And I need to rethink my relationships. Because I know that we live in a day, in a world where we define the differences, not between man and animals, but people. And you look at the way life was early on in the story, the account of creation. You look at the way civilization broke down in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. God's judgment with the Noah flood. God's destruction of Babel. Seems to be that we have a problem. We have a tendency to elevate ourselves above others, even above God Himself. You and I need a right love for one another. And it's easy to love people that look like us and act like us. And yet, every person, every man and every woman on this planet that God created has the same need, the same basic need. I'm not talking about survival. I'm not talking about food and shelter, sleep. It's that relationship with God that God created us for. Just because people do not look like us. And the more people try to change the way we look, it's just more of a reminder of how broken this creation is and yet how great our God is. He's made every man and woman in His image. He's given us this spiritual identity, which sets us apart from the animals. And the promise that we find when Israel was taken into captivity in Babylon in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, this was the words that the Lord spoke to Israel in their captivity. And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And that longing that exists in our lives, our hearts, that we sometimes try to fill by making modifications, by making changes, by moving and trying to find a bigger house or buy a bigger boat or to change jobs, is all answered and met in that basic longing that we have in our relationship with God. For anything that we can build and create, or anything that we can substitute, or anything that we can try to remove from that God-given relationship, that God-granted relationship, we have something so much more special than the rest of this creation. It's the opportunity to have a relationship with our Creator, because we were made for relationship. Doesn't mean that God doesn't care about the animals and doesn't care about this planet. And yet the gospel is God's great news for every man, woman, boy, and girl. That what Adam and Eve sinned and broke in a garden, Jesus restores in a garden. That the death, the burial, and the resurrection is the story, is the account, is the promise of what lengths God went to offer us relationship with Him, restored, renewed. Here's my comfort this morning. Yes, you and I are made different, and that's what makes us alike. Even though we think about the creatures and we find similarities, hope this morning that as you and I struggle and that you and I live throughout these next few days, that every moment would be an opportunity to find God in our need. Too many people try to live life apart from God. And yet, as believers, sometimes we find ourselves trying to build our hope and build our strength and build our confidence on the things that, well, really have no standing basis or no lasting basis. Regardless of where the economy goes, regardless of the availability of food in the grocery store, regardless of whether or not we have new clothes, God's provided for us basically. And if He doesn't give you the means to take care of yourself, God has given you a relationship with someone who can. Your family? Me. I care about you. And I love you. But that does not compare to the love that God has for you. And I pray that over these next few days that you would see God meet your needs. Because that's who He is. And I also pray that from your need you'd be able to share the opportunity of how God met your need. We're looking at the series of encouragement. Encouragement is not that you and I are just big sponges that just keep soaking and growing and growing and growing, but rather God uses circumstances of life to wring out His blessings. Sometimes He does it through discomfort. Sometimes He does it through hardship. May you and I understand the relationship, responsibility that we have. May this be our prayer. Lord, thank you for giving me life and purpose.